What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Warriors taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. Sans KD, Draymond, and Boogie have some interesting things to say, as always. All that and more coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Happy Saturday, everyone. The Dubs are taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight in Oklahoma City. It has been announced by Steve Kerr just a little bit ago that there will be no Kevin Durant tonight. Still nursing the rolled ankle. I guess an ankle sprain or contusion, or I don't know what they classified it as. But he rolled his ankle against Phoenix, missed the game against Houston, and now we'll miss his game against OKC. And Steve Kerr just basically mentioned that it was just better to give him a couple extra days and he'll be back against San Antonio on Monday. I don't know if it has anything to do with the fact that it's OKC and just an opportunity for him to not deal with a highly emotional environment or anything like that. I'm sure it factors in a little bit, but I think mostly it's they're just making sure that he's going to be all right, even though he did look good in shoot around. Yesterday and today even. I know a couple writers yesterday thought he'd be a go for this game, but being safe with him, and that's probably the right call, especially this close to the playoffs. Only 15 more games until the playoffs start, and what the hell? If it has something to do with the fact that it's in OKC, then, you know, that's fine too. Keep him away from it. That works. But moving on to who will play tonight, you have to imagine that Steve Kerr will start Andre Iguodala again. He did that against the Rockets with KD out. Not just because he's good, he's their best option, but because it sends a message to the rest of the team that they're taking this seriously. Nothing against Alphonso McKinney or Damian Lee or anyone else they would slide in there. But Steve Kerr is desperately trying to get this team in playoff mode, and that's one of the ways that he can show that he's taking this as serious as they should. That this would be a playoff situation. Because if someone goes down in the playoffs, it's not going to be Alphonso McKinney starting. It would be Andre or Sean or whoever the best option is. I'm going to come back to Alphonso McKinney in just a second, too, because he is important as far as this team's concerned. They do need him to perform well. But Andre should start tonight. And then some of the things to look for moving forward, especially with KD out, is does Steve Kerr stick with the rotation that he used against Houston that was so effective for DeMarcus Cousins, where in that second unit was DeMarcus, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Quinn Cook, and Klay Thompson. And part of the reason why that was so effective was it gave him more spacing with Quinn Cook out there. And Boogie was able to go to work one-on-one. And maybe that was a matchup thing with Clint Capella. It'll be interesting to see how he fares against a much bigger, stronger Steven Adams. Because I wasn't surprised at the success he had against Clint Capella, but we've seen DeMarcus have some struggles against centers this year. Early part of the year, obviously. He's still working his way back. Last game was a huge improvement. But is he able to work on the block the same way against Steven Adams that he did against Clint Capella? We'll see. That'll be an important question to be answered during the game. One of the things I've wanted them to do with DeMarcus is look for more mismatches. You know, get him on a guard or something like that. And we didn't see a ton of it, but we did see some of it, especially with all the switching that Houston did. But DeMarcus got a lot of his buckets against centers, against Clint Capella. You know, he went to work against another big. And another thing we saw was when they did get the switch, DeMarcus on a guard or a smaller player, was instead of DeMarcus victimizing, you know, the 6'4 Eric Gordon, It was Steph or Clay, you know, back cutting on Capella, you know, victimizing the center with DeMarcus making a great pass here and there. So it'll be interesting how it works out. But I like the tweak that they made. Instead of just, oh, we have DeMarcus on a small guy, go down to the post, go down to the block and get a bucket. We got DeMarcus on a small, which means we have one of our smalls on their big. So another thing to look for, especially with how good of a defensive team OKC is. But at the same time, OKC has been struggling recently. They're 5-8 in their last 13 games. Paul George hasn't played quite the MVP level that we got used to this season. Russ is Russ, as we all know. They don't have many offensive weapons, many shooters. They are definitely a defensive team, defensive-focused team. A lot of length, a lot of things that could bug the Warriors. But as far as I'm concerned, it's all about Steph, DeMarcus, Clay. It's all about the Warriors and what they do, not so much what OKC does. The Warriors can dictate the pace, dictate this game, and that's what I'm looking for. Can Steph, I don't know if bounce back is the right term, but we haven't seen Steph play like the Steph Curry that we're used to. You know, 3 of 9 from three isn't great. Clay had a great game last game. Clay and DeMarcus were the main ones that had great games. Steph was fine. So can Steph find something in OKC? Give us some of that magic that he used to have there. Or maybe Clay finds it, man. Maybe Clay goes game 6 of the Western Conference Finals. Clay Thompson knocks down 11 threes. But either way, it's about the Warriors dictating pace, dictating how the game is going to be played, and not about OKC and their defense. I brought up Alphonso McKinney and just how important he is to this team. Like I said last game, it's really important that at least one of these bench players steps up and, you know, starts playing better, starts playing kind of how they played earlier in the year, whether it's Jarebko, McKinney, Quinn Cook, Jordan Bell, whatever. They would prefer it be Alphonso McKinney, though, because he's a wing and he'll be the most playable throughout all the series, all the playoff series coming up, where Jordan Bell is more of a matchup kind of guy. Quinn Cook, I don't know. Steve Kerr, he's got his defensive deficiencies, but I still think he could be valuable with his shooting. I think that's something that's valuable always. But Steve Kerr is he's a defensive-minded coach. I mean, is really the case. Jarebko, same thing. He's kind of just a four. So you don't have a lot of versatility with him. So it's the Warriors would prefer it's Alphonso McKinney who finds his rhythm and starts playing better. Now, he was fine against the Rockets, but they're really hoping that he can find that groove he was in earlier in the year when he was shooting above 40% from three. And that's the main thing. That is the main thing, is just knocking down threes when I really talk about playing well, because he defends all right. He's got length. He's really athletic. He's a great rebounder. It's just basically all about him knocking down his three. But again, Quinn Cook's going to get some run tonight. Wouldn't be surprised if we saw Jordan Bell. We might even see some Jarebko. So it's if all of them can step up, that's great. Warriors would prefer it be McKinney, but whoever it is, they need it. And hopefully at least one of them will do it again tonight. Going to take a quick break, come back, talk some more Dubs here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Just talked about tonight's game against OKC, and I appreciate you guys waiting till Saturday for this episode because I wanted to wait to see what happened with Kevin Durant, whether he was going to be a go or not, and we got the news that he will not be playing tonight. Should be back for the Monday game against San Antonio. I don't know how much it factors in that it's in OKC as to why they're sitting him. Like, we just don't want him to have to deal with the drama of playing in OKC. Or is it, you know, just a couple more days? Give you a couple more days and we'll be fine. Probably a mix of both, honestly. Probably a mix of both. But as far as the injury is concerned, like, he's going to be back Monday. The injury's not worse than they thought or anything like that. KD does stay busy, though. He has his show, The Boardroom, which was an interesting episode because he opened up about certain things that, you know, we haven't quite heard about yet, or at least from him. And one of them was his burner account. And, I don't have much to say about it. I'm just going to throw to the audio and let it speak for himself, man. This is straight from KD on his show, The Boardroom, about his burner account.
I wanted a place where I could talk to my friends without anybody just butting in my conversations or mixing my words or taking everything out of context, because I enjoyed that place.
How'd you come up with that idea, though? Were you like, yo, I'm just going to create this account, I'm going to start going?
Yeah, I mean, I had an Instagram account that I just used for my friends and family, and just turned over to social media, to Twitter as well. And it was just like, it was a cool place for me to just be me instead of worrying about Bleacher Report or Barstool, just mixing up anything I want to say to CJ or my friends from back home, you know? So I just try to, I guess I try to live a normal life out in the public, I guess.
So here's what I got to say. If it really is just about communicating with your friends, like, use text message, you know? That's a way it won't get out into the public. But the thing is, he likes social media. I think most athletes do. And the fact that they're athletes or celebs, you know, that should keep them from using social media. It can be, look, social media can be a fun place. Some people just stay away from it. KD doesn't. He likes the interaction. He enjoys, you know, NBA Twitter. And a lot of people enjoy it. It's just a whole lot of trash talk and funny memes and basketball. Like, it can be a fun place. So he just wanted to enjoy it. Obviously, it was a bad idea, and it came back and, you know, fired back on him. And good for him for speaking on it, because I just doubted we'd ever hear him say anything about it. And this is also the first generation to really go through celebrity with social media. I know it's been around, but it's never reached this height before. So, you know, the game plan, the playbook of how to deal with social media as a celeb, as a NBA superstar, is still being written. And that's going to be one of the chapters of what not to do. But he's never had, none of these guys have had any examples of, you know, what to do or not to do from former players, because this is the first time, really, that this is the first group going through it. Not only did Kevin Durant talk about the burner account on The Boardroom, which, by the way, is a solid show you should all check out on ESPN+. They also did a little piece on just social media in general and how it affects athletes today. And I thought it was pretty interesting. I'm going to throw to the audio of that. It just kind of touches on the pros and cons. You'll hear from CJ McCollum, Kevin Durant, Breonna Stewart, just talking about social media and just its draw and its negatives. So here it is.
In the blockbuster entertainment that is NBA Twitter, Kevin Durant is unquestionably an above-the-title star. From his burner accounts to the snake memes that greeted his move to the Golden State Warriors.
I had a couple death threats on there a few times. You got to know that it's not serious. But a lot of people do take it too far with the stuff they say, but, you know, like you said, you just got to laugh it off.
Yeah, so you don't take it too serious at
all? Try not to. Sometimes I do, though. I can't lie.
On his ESPN Plus show, The Boardroom, KD seemed cool with the NBA's social media whirlwind, which has given us the DeAndre Jordan emoji war of summer 2015. Paul George re-upping with the Thunder while on stage.
I'm here to stay.
The landscape of brush fires. The Blazers' CJ McCollum hit a different note.
You can't live a normal life anymore. You can't go on vacation. You can't post happy pictures. You're supposed to be depressed. And everything comes back to you losing the game, and they're telling you to get in the gym.
She's an Olympian and an all-star and now a WNBA champion, Stewie!
Mine is a little different. Go back in the kitchen, like nobody cares, like blah, blah, blah. So I would say everybody gets it.
The state of mind of basketball's best, perhaps owing to social media's sway. It's a hot topic in the wake of NBA Commissioner Adam Silver's words to The Ringer's Bill Simmons.
I think we live a bit in the age of anxiety. Part of it is a direct product of social media. When I meet with them, what strikes me is that they are truly unhappy. This is not some, like, you know, show they're putting on.
While on Get Up, Charles Barkley took issue with that idea.
He's a great guy, but that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of any commissioner say. These guys are making $20, $30, $40 million a year. They work 6-7 months a year. We stay at the best hotels in the world. They ain't got no problems.
Whatever its influence on the moods of players, for some, Twitter's dopamine rush remains hard to resist, along with the urge to clap back.
I'm addicted. I'm going on the record. I am addicted to social media. Every 1 out of 10, I'm responding for sure off the rip. I'm going to the Abbey. I'm checking out your life story.
Are you sure that's 1 out of 10? Because I feel like I've seen you
maybe,
go 10
maybe
for 10.
2 out of 5.
And while some have called out social media as isolated or divisive, KD can reflect on it as a force for good in his own life.
To be honest, I had Twitter as a platform just to interact with people. I mean, I was always been an introvert, never really had a lot of friends that I talked to about things. And to use Twitter got me more confident, as crazy as that seems. And I know there's a lot of kids out there that probably felt the same way as me.
So there it is. I thought it was interesting. CJ said he's addicted to social media. He is one of the more active athletes on there, for sure. You hear Breonna Stewart talking about the hate she gets on there, Kevin Durant as well. It's a mix of a fun environment where you can go and, you know, make jokes and talk hoops, or you can get, you know, death threats from egg avatars. It's a really weird, fun slash toxic place that, you know, I try and stay away from at times, but I can't. So I can't be critical of people that want to be on there, whether you're a celebrity or not. It's always funny to me, the idea of, oh man, you're a celebrity, you have all this money, you shouldn't even pay attention to it. Why get mad over what someone says on Twitter? At what level do we decide that money should keep you from getting angry about stuff? Because there are people I work with who, you know, have their own radio shows and stuff like that. They do it. So, I mean, that's a level of success. At what level should we decide that, no, we can't, we're not going to interact, we're not going to get mad when someone, some random person, you know, tells us to kill ourselves or something like that. So I always find that argument kind of dumb, honestly. And Charles Barkley's argument is pretty dumb, too, and you're going to hear a lot of it. Well, they make, you know, millions of dollars. Well, what are they upset about? So, anyways, moving on. I just thought that was an interesting piece. One last thing Kevin Durant did say on the boardroom. He talked about the business of basketball and how it can kind of take away from the joy of the game. And, you know, I got some things to say about it, but here's what KD had to say.
I find myself just like wanting to prove how good I am more so than just going out there and playing. I think a lot of people go through that stage. Like you said, Allen Iverson kind of sheltered you a little bit, let you be who you are. That's how it was for me in Oklahoma City. Now, get to Golden State, everything's off and they just see the real you. And it's like, it's really difficult to, you know, not get jaded from just being around the business, being around so many opinions, being around so many voices. And then when you go to play, just like, all right, well, I wonder what my teammates are thinking about now. I wonder what my coaches are thinking about now. Are they letting the business seep in too? It's like, it's so much that just put me into a dark place where I was just like, man, do I really love to do this anymore? And then I get out on the court and we scrimmage, or I work out with Steve and I'm just like, this is what I want. Like, I want to feel those moments as much as possible. So it's hard, especially in this business, man, when you start to get better and more people start to know you, it's tough. A lot of people want that until you really get it.
So I understand what he's saying to an extent, but my problem is a lot of the business stuff of the NBA is kind of self-inflicted. You know, the rumors of New York and stuff, like, man, you're the one who moved your company's headquarters to New York. You know, like stuff like that is self-inflicted. Other stuff I do understand, it's over the top, and the business of the NBA can hurt the love of the game, as he said. But my only problem with it is a good amount of it is self-inflicted. It's your own choice. Anyways, that was a quick recap. Some interesting stuff from the boardroom. I think you guys should check it out, KD's ESPN Plus show. It's pretty interesting. It's like, I don't know, what's the next one? So there's the shop, the boardroom. What's going to be the next show of people talking in an in an environment that they find relaxing or something. The studio, the podcast room. I don't know, man. Going to take a quick break, come back, little Bogut update. Steph talks about tonight's game, and then I'm going to wrap this thing up. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Quick Andrew Bogut update. He is going to rejoin the team at home this coming week. So he'll probably be available Thursday against the Pacers. He is getting back to the Bay Area. He either just got back or will be in the next day or so. And they're just going to leave him there. He's not going to rejoin them on the road. So Thursday against the Pacers will be his first chance to come back. We'll see what happens as far as whether they play him or not or even suit him. So we'll see. So that would leave him, I think, 11 games left in the regular season to kind of judge what he has. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. He mentioned he's either, you know, he's ready for minutes or he'll be the best towel waiver in the world. So I'm intrigued to see which one he'll get for Bogues. Steph was talked about just at this point of the season. What's it like when you're taking on teams and playoff atmospheres and stuff like that? Is it nerve-wracking or what? And Steph had a classic Steph answer. Here's what he had to say.
You get on the road against teams that you could face in the playoffs, and the atmospheres are what they are. You got to enjoy it. So we are, 15, 14 games, whatever it is, away from the playoffs, and starting to ramp it up. Excited about it.
So Steph is ready to go, ready to get this one going. He enjoys the atmosphere, and, you know, he's excited about playoffs coming up, man. He's talked about trying to get into playoff shape and the playoff mindset. Just the team hasn't quite followed yet. League pass picks for tonight. I mean, Warriors Thunder, you have to go with because it's a damn good game. I mean, no other way around it. The Thunder should be motivated too because they are currently in the 5 seed, a half game back from Portland, and Portland is a half game back behind Houston for the 4-3. I mean, it was a week ago, I thought Oklahoma City had the 3 seed wrapped up. Now they're on the other side of the bracket at the 5 seed. So they should be motivated and ready to go tonight. So that should be a good game. I have to pick them for league pass. I usually try and stay away from Warriors games, but I mean, what can I say? They play in a lot of good games. We'll go Blazers Spurs also. As I mentioned, the Blazers situation, they're a half game behind Houston in the standings at the 4 seed. And then San Antonio, they're in the 6 seed right now. Like I said before, I think the 8 teams that are going to make the playoffs have pretty much been solidified, especially with Sacramento being 5 games back from the Clippers right now in the 8th seed. But, man, it looks like 3 through 8 could be anyone. I can't even commit to anyone being in their spots besides Golden State and Denver. And Golden State has something to play for, too. If they want to keep that 1 seed, Denver is 1 game behind them. And you know what? I'll throw in an extra game tonight, too. Pacers-Nuggets. Pacers are a damn good team. Continued to play well ever since Oladipo went down. And Nuggets, like I said, they're fighting for the 1 seed. All these teams have something to fight for. Even though they're pretty firm in the playoffs, seeding matters. And that's what all these teams are fighting for. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll be back by Monday at the very latest. Maybe tomorrow, depending on how tonight's game goes. But either way, thank you guys so much for listening. This has been Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.